Hello, everyone. I'm FreePod host Alan Wenzel, bringing you this extended interview. Today, I'm speaking with Risa Tyler, who is director of FHN's Leonard C. Ferguson Cancer Center here in Freeport, Illinois. And Risa, first of all, thanks for taking some time to spend with us today. Welcome. And I know you have a big celebration coming up, and this is an important anniversary event for you. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on with the Cancer Center these days?
Oh, I would love to. I'm just actually going into my fourth year here now, and I am lucky enough to actually be here for the celebration of 30 years.
Wow.
Of the Cancer Center right here in Freeport, which is just amazing. And I think a true testament to this Cancer Center is I'm only the third director
in
30 years,
okay.
Which is just kind of a, you know, fun fact. Which really says a lot about the leadership here at FHN and also about the team that works here at the Cancer Center.
Before we get into some of the specifics of what the Cancer Center offers to people in the area, can you talk a little bit about some of the celebratory things you're going to be doing, Risa, to mark the 30th anniversary of the Cancer Center?
Yes, everyone's probably going to hear a lot about us this year. So starting actually tomorrow, we're going to have Aaron Wilson from WIFR here on site for that early morning rise and shine, right around 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Talk a little bit about the Cancer Center, give everyone a tour that wants to tune in. And then after that, we're going to invite the Greater Freeport Partnership on site, and we'll do a rise and shine breakfast with them and then begin caring for our patients for the day. And the most exciting, beginning on September 13th at 4 p.m., we're going to open the house. We are going to invite everybody in.
Okay.
So no registration required, no fundraising, nothing like that. We just want the community to come in and join us.
Well, that'd be wonderful. And what time does that begin? From when to when?
It's from 4 to 7 p.m.
4 to 7.
Providers will be on site telling a little bit about what they do here and the support that they offer patients. We'll have staff members around saying what they do. And then very neat. We have some patients who have decided to be ambassadors for us.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. And they're going to be on site too and tell their stories, and they'll be identified. So that way, you know, it's safe to ask them, you know, what their experience was like here.
So it's Saturday, right? September 13th from 4 to 7 p.m. Open house to the public. Come and look at the facilities, talk to the medical staff, talk to patients. It sounds like it'll be a fun afternoon.
Yes. Lots of yummy treats. Drinks too. So,
there you go.
You know, definitely come join us for that too.
Yeah. And no registration required. Just come in the door and
come as you are,
take the tour and enjoy the all that you'll have to offer that day. That's wonderful.
Definitely.
Let's talk just a little bit about the Cancer Center, Risa, and it's had a long history here in the community. Can you tell me just some general information? How many patients have been served by the Cancer Center over those 30 years? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, we had to do a little bit of approximating. Going back to 1995 was a little bit before the digital age. So without going in and pulling out every single chart from then, we have a pretty good estimate though, and we're thinking we're right around 25,000.
25,000 patients.
Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely. Unique patients served, which is just an astounding feat. If you think of the size of Freeport itself,
sure.
That would be like touching every single person here in town, which I think arguably you could say we probably have in the region.
Mm-hmm. Do you, I know your service area encompasses several counties here in Northern Illinois. Do people come from outside the area to take advantage of the treatments and the medical care here at the Cancer Center?
They do. We actually have some patients, you know, maybe they're snowbirds, but they make sure that all of their care is managed up here, even when they're outside the state. Additionally, we've had people that have moved into the suburbs, maybe to be close to family, but they continue to doctor here.
So they still return here
for
it?
They do.
Oh,
they take
great.
The drive, and they say that it's worth it 100%. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, we did in 2023 began offering low-dose osteoarthritis treatments with our linear accelerator, our radiation therapy machine. And that has brought people in from around the area too. So that's kind of expanded.
I was going to ask you about some of the newer treatment programs programs that you have here, and you just mentioned one. Have, over the course of 30 years, I would guess that the different options available to cancer patients has really grown. Over that period of time, and it started out with maybe some basic things, and then now it's gotten pretty sophisticated. Is that, would that be a true statement?
Teresa? I think you hit the nail on the head. A couple of notes on that. Cancer treatment is something I think we see, you know, cell phones, how fast do they change, right? Mm-hmm. Cancer treatment changes almost faster. Mm-hmm. It is mm-hmm. unbelievable. And just a quick personal story. Mm-hmm. My mother, had an acute myeloid leukemia back in 2009.
Okay.
The treatments and everything she went through, and I'm very blessed that she's still here with me today.
Good.
And the treatments and everything she went through, that was in 2009. We don't hardly do any of that anymore.
Oh, really?
There's
wow,
very
it's all
few,
changed.
It's just changed
mm-hmm.
that fast.
Mm-hmm.
The newest and greatest is really targeted immunotherapies where they take a sample of your blood or tissue, and then they're doing all of this genetic work on it to determine where can we really strike the hardest and the most effective to target that cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Some examples of that actually go back as far as 1981. That would be like your hepatitis B vaccine.
Oh, sure.
Which mm-hmm. obviously we want to prevent hepatitis B infection, but the sequel of that is liver failure or potentially liver cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving more recently, looking at vaccines like the Gardasil vaccine, used to prevent HPV. It was launched in 2006, and we just got some 15-year data on it published, mm-hmm. you know, around, you know, the COVID time.
Sure.
No one wants to talk about.
Sure.
But that 15-year data shows that in girls between the ages of 14 and 19, it reduced the incidence of HPV by 88%.
Wow. Wow, that's significant.
And then young women ages 20 to 24, it was reduced by 81%.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a virus we know is mm-hmm. pathogenic. It causes cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's a vaccine that prevents that
yeah,
from happening.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
So amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that mm-hmm. over the next, you know, several decades.
In addition to just some of the medical breakthroughs and advances in terms of the kinds of treatment, I'm guessing also that the equipment that you have here that helps you with some of those treatments has changed dramatically too. Can you talk a little bit about some of that, some of those evolutionary changes in the equipment?
Yeah, some things are very, you know, similar. Many patients still get a port. We still do a lot of infusions.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the drugs that we use are the, you know, what we would call the old tried and true. They work.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep using
sure.
them.
Sure.
But then you have more advanced technologies, like say, for example, in radiation therapy, it used to be we would treat a big block of tissue, you know, a big area.
Oh, okay.
Now our machine is able to really hone in on the edges of those tumors and make it as precise as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So we're sparing as much good tissue as possible.
You're doing it without damaging the good stuff in
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We also started doing a Barrigel procedure for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
Barrigel is done on prostate patients. So a patient
okay.
that is getting radiation for prostate cancer. And
mm-hmm.
it actually kind of works as a cushion between the prostate and the rectum to spare all that tissue. So you have
okay. wow.
a lot less symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more comfortable experience long term for the patient because they do get a decent amount of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, just, and the funny thing is that spacer is made of the same stuff that you'd get in a lip filler.
Oh,
go figure.
Wow.
Look at how we just apply all these
yeah.
different things.
Interesting. Interesting. So you've got all these advances in the treatments and with the equipment that you're using to zero in on cancer and give it the particular treatment that it might require. Talk a little bit about your medical staff. How many doctors do you have on staff? How many support folks do you have working here? What's the magnitude of that for us, Risa?
Oh, I could not be happier that you asked that question. We have two fabulous full-time providers. Dr. Shaikh is our medical oncologist and hematologist. He graduated residency. He's been out about 24 years now and been with FHN well over 10.
Mm-hmm.
To be an oncologist, especially medical oncology, the amount of conversations that you have to have with patients and their families takes a great deal of care, compassion, patients. And that's something that with my office being relatively close to his, I do get to hear on occasion. And he always handles them with so much tact, that I feel incredibly lucky to work with him. And then on the other side, we also have Dr. Kaneru. So Dr. Kaneru is independently employed, but he has been with us for almost 10 years. He's very committed to the region, committed to high quality care here. He's so innovative. He's always looking for the next way to how can we make patients care better? How can we make this safer? And having their brains literally three doors from each other and being able to collaborate, you don't get that at every cancer center.
Right.
It's very neat. And then, can I brag on my staff?
Sure.
Okay.
You bet.
So I was doing a little digging yesterday. Because if there's one thing you don't know about the Cancer Center, it's probably how experienced the team here is. So I was interested. I know my average tenure of nursing experience is about 25 years per nurse.
Wow.
Which is exceptional.
Wow.
But then I was like, what if I went through and I tallied up how much healthcare experience this team has? So not just in oncology, but healthcare in general. There are 25 staff here. We are well over 600 years of healthcare experience.
Wow, that's amazing.
Just phenomenal.
So you bring that kind of, that wealth of experience to a patient's care and treatment here at the facility. That counts for a lot because there's probably nothing that these folks haven't seen or haven't been had to deal with. And they know how to do that.
Yeah, and it's a team sport.
And with, with a team.
Yeah, if you're the two-year person, you're going to turn around and ask the 40-year person, have you ever seen anything like this? And if you walk in these doors and we haven't seen it, you might end up in an article.
And that's a good thing.
Yes, absolutely.
That's a good thing.
Always learning.
That's always learning. What are the, when you look into the future, Risa, of course, it's hard to predict the future in anything these days, but what do you anticipate happening with the Cancer Center in the next 15 to 30 years?
Sure. In the next 15 years, we're hopeful that we'll have our new linear accelerator, which we will be doing fundraising for here coming up. We're really excited about that. So seeing what the capabilities on that new machine will be as far as giving radiation therapy treatments, I'm fascinated to see what happens as far as all this genetic science that's coming out and these targeted therapies. I think it's going to be pretty remarkable, what's discovered, whether that cure for cancer really happens, I'm not sure, but I think the more preventative maintenance on our bodies we can do, the more health, education and teaching we can do, and catching people early, the less disease burden we'll have to deal with later on. So that's what I would like to see. So I'm hoping we can go that direction.
That seems to be the pattern just kind of across the country when it comes to cancer. The early detection is so important, and that's how you can receive the proper treatment. And it sounds like that's exactly where you're headed to. Let's do what we can to detect this stuff early on so we can deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely. We do know that there are certain genetic markers, right, that are going to put you at a higher risk of certain cancers. Hands down, I think one of the most common ones that people are familiar with is the BRCA mutation, which is usually associated with breast cancer and some other cancers. And a lot of times if they do have the BRCA mutation, that's a conversation to determine whether someone wants to have a preventative mastectomy. And that's a pretty big deal. And I think as far as genetically linked cancers go, we're going to start seeing some more of that research come out to say, can we stop cancer in its tracks?
Those of you who are listening, I'm talking with Risa Tyler, who's director of the FHN Leonard C. Ferguson Cancer Center. And we've been talking about a lot this morning. And again, the big thing that's happening most immediately is the 30th anniversary of the Cancer Center. And once again, the open house, Risa, go through that information again for us.
Yes, the open house will be on September 13th from 4 to 7 p.m. The providers will be on site, staff on site, patient ambassadors, food, drinks, and just a really good time to come in this building. It's funny, a lot of times when people say, oh, you work at the Cancer Center, that has to be the most depressing job. And I'm delighted to tell them, that it's the opposite.
Yeah.
Walking in this building absolutely is a scary experience for many people. But many people, after they've been here, they go, oh, this is my safe place. This is my second family. And that's what we want you to feel. We don't want you to feel like this is the scariest place in the world, because you're already dealing with enough.
Right. What a wonderful asset this cancer center has been for Freeport and the surrounding area. And I'm so glad that you're welcoming the public to an open house to see what you do and to talk to the people who do it and to just celebrate 30 years of a very successful run here in Northwest Illinois. Risa, thanks so much for your time. Do you have any final words for us at all, or any final thoughts before we sign off?
Nothing too earth shattering. Okay. Just that I would love to see everyone in the community to come out, support the center. Tell us what it means to you. Let us know what it's meant to have this cancer center right in your backyard. We want to do a little bit of a project on that and say, this is really what our patients and what our community thinks of having us here. So we want to hear your words. It's not about what I have to say, or don't tell Dr. Shaker, Dr. Nehru, but what they have to say either. But it's really about those that we're caring for. So come on out and tell us about it.
It's a good one, and thank you, Risa, so much. This is Alan Wenzel, Freepod host, thanking you for listening to this extended interview and reminding you that extended interviews drop every Tuesday beginning at noon, and a regular weekly podcast drops every Thursday beginning at noon. You can even find archived interviews and podcasts on our website at freepod.org. Thanks again for listening, and thanks again to Risa Tyler at the Cancer Center here in Freeport. And let's get out and celebrate on September 13th.
Sounds good. Thanks, Alan.